we continue our studies on the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. So we thank you, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Last week we looked at verse 27 to 30, where the Lord explained the law that forbids sexual sins. He says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." That's why in church, you know, I used to know, really, yes, Christian, in church, I'm not sure what people listen to, or Matthew chapter 5. Now, chapter 27 to 30. The Honor, really, yes, Christian, or church, and Ranwa, you see, a tear, our ritual, so, and then, money, and then we learn from the Lord's teaching that not only is the actual act of adultery is a violation of this law, but also unlawful sexual desires and thoughts which lay hidden in the heart of men, in the mind of men, these are also violations of this law, that not only the actual act itself, but all unlawful sexual desires and thoughts. And the word is used to try and say, and yes, we better our respect. And that's why people, if you're my or half of your own, I found a bonnet and I drink here a part of the banning member of the town. I panic by being more if you're a new crano and also put here and railway, the put here, sir, and your man. It is a big when you're sadly no, they said you'll be also put this up one in one. So we see that adultery extends to every form of sexual immorality, whether infidelity in marriage or fornication by your marriage, the state where they're defaming. So, you say, Emraya, see, Jamayabo, Epine, Emra, Chesa, Nyoma Libra, a group, Sevia, a far our for Omo Bakwe, Oku and Nasa, Yendi, the Grafa, Nikuna, and our age, and Nasa, to my Bokra, we all worry, and Sukumu Niniafa, and Rai Etia. And we also remember how the Lord gave a warning that it's better that whatever causes sins should be cut off, should be removed from our lives. And in connection with this law, about every occasion that will lead to this, and implying even the desires and the thoughts have to be we should then entertain so that this sin will not be followed. And we already speak to all canon now, So we continue from verse 31 this evening. The better also if you verse 31 near the way. So this will be part 13 of the series on the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. So I read to you verse 31. It has been said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." And as I said last week, that all this, we were supposed to look at this, but we couldn't because of time. You know, this is a connection with the teachings which we have just reminded ourselves before. So it has been said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce." In America, verse 31 actually says, "Yeah, or be giant, ontro awariga krata mfa emmanu eh samwana ke ka na otwe ebetwe mu de na eka no but mra ma ye kwa ti ebehwe ne mu ya so aso. And as it says, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. A writing of divorcement. This it was used by the Jewish men to divorce their wives. And they based it on Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. And I read to you, when a man had taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. So that verse, So they grounded this divorce on this verse, and so the Lord, that's what the Lord is saying, and that's in the law. And it is known that among the Jews there was so many different kinds of opinions on this this phrase, uncleanness in the wife. And that would permit a man to divorce his wife. There are also the different kinds of opinion that constitute that. And Israel for titi any omu akwanya na omu wo again pop bebre ni nyano enya ba ko efa se de babo eka se se okunu hu ni wudie du oba no hu a ontro awarija ka tan fa manu no ni wudie no na. And so, the Pharisees, particularly at the time of Jesus Christ, they understood some uncleanness to mean anything the husband dislikes in his wife. Now, if you Pharisee for no, Jesus Christ was as so. Now, I want to Pharisee for no, I say, a new journey, Bemano So by them any trivial matter could trigger divorce. It is said they shared their historically, so there were two schools in Israel. One of them, that is called the Jews, the opinion of the Jews that the Pharisees, anything that the man doesn't like about the woman, he divorces the wife. And then for a thing for no day, Omadwe Fasa, and you would hear Efa about Okun, Ebia, and the Renewal Minister. Adibia, of course, answered the new Oban. And although from Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 to 9, at this place, the Pharisees came to ask the Lord Jesus Christ about this law, let me just read it, I think that would be better. And I just give a comment. Matthew 9, 1 to 9. In 4 verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, that to the Lord Jesus Christ, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, is a cleft to his wife, and they twin shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twin, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. Now from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commit adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. So this issue came, they came to ask the Lord Jesus Christ about this writing of divorcement. So we learned that Moses permitted the Jewish men to divorce their wives for other reasons apart from fornication, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ is insisting of the case of fornication. But what we know also is that such reasons which Moses will have given for other issues which a man may divorce his wife, wouldn't be trivial as the Pharisees, wouldn't be just any other matter that the Pharisees have really interpreted this the law to. It will definitely be cases where probably the life of the woman was at risk. Maybe because the husband has been cruel, and that if they are not separate, she may lose her life. So Moses definitely gave other allowances, but it shouldn't be the case like the Pharisees where they think anything. The case where maybe the woman, her life is at risk, or the husband has become violent against him, against her. Because Christ explained that in the verse 8 of chapter Matthew 19, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife. But from the beginning, it was not so. The can say, Usher Matthew chapter 19, Noah, account of the Noah said, for I see if only be by Israel, the capital and most of the true brand we say, so people so gather, I'm sure I will jack at and farm, no jack at and uncle. This is the church, and we say, I want to jack at Naka and sister and divorce. I'm going to go to the house. And then I began to say, my Pharisee, for one friend, said, we would be here, we couldn't be more than a little bit, we would be sure our dad can't have. And my friend said, Bibi, I'll be my name to be here. And this is actually Moses. Moses, the other way, I'll be here. Nah, Moses, I'm not my young so Munshro, Carter, our Jack Carter. Ah, not a bee, and your my pocket. A bear, a fire, and yes, sir, for a seat for Nigeria, a BBA, a bear, and somewhere, a year, Moses, I never come. If you say, here's Mr. Chamber, sir, I'm up for my children, Moses, my almost alpine. And tells you some who may. No, the people of Israel, not all of them were believers, though as a nation they represent the law of God. So that some, like you remember the time when they were even traveling the wilderness, Korah and his people, they wouldn't want to be listening to God, God had to punish them. So there were some among them who didn't respect the things of the Lord. And maybe a husband who had become so cruel to the wife, and then Moses will along that case that there should be separation because maybe the wife's life may be at risk. So that's what you may think of that. But the Pharisees and what they are saying, if it is so that for any case then they write a bill of divorcement, then it would be like God has placed divorce in the hand of the man, that well, he just dissolves the marriage as when he feels it. and then he will yet dismiss his wife for any occasion he displeases. And that wouldn't be the case, you see. God didn't place marriage and any divorce in the hand of men. God, what the Pharisees said, that doesn't mean that for any case, the man divorced the wife. But that's not the case. That's what I'm saying, that though Moses gave other reasons, which we don't have, we can think of some cases I've just given the example, maybe where the man has come through against the wife, and if they don't separate, probably there will be the wife's life will be at risk, but not as the Pharisees. But God did not place divorce in the hand of the man, so that when he pleases, any reason he gives them, then, I mean, practically it's impossible. Then the man will just be married, because any issue will just come to my mind, no, God wouldn't do that. So, and so that these Jews who are holding on to this, that, oh, Moses have said it, so we do that, they were rather violating this law of divorce. And so we look at the exception will be because of their hard-heartedness, because of such people who wouldn't listen and will be disobedient, and that they will be found, may probably cause harm to their spouse and all that. So the Ekana said, yeah, for us before, this man no more extra. Our entire brand new so as very many people said, be on top, they will know a family, no a truck, Moses in Kata, no so much on a man. So, son, I can tell you. And then I said, who bought the Awaji Asha Beman? He said, no one will be aware of a truck, not a family, no. But in himself, yes, I'm so not. He said, our guy had there, and yet there also, and no one can get. And see, I'm not sure if I'm a family. When the woman leaves the husband, she's not supposed to. If she marries and she commits adultery, because the marriage is still not broken. So, yeah, that's what it is. So, that divorce, as Jesus Christ tells us, as you tell us in verse 32, is only when there's fornication. So, I read 2 verse 32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery. So, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ does not cancel the permission of divorce under the law. He's not saying that it's not, I mean, it's not possible to divorce, that's not what he's saying, but rather he frees permission from wrong interpretation, and also the bad use of these Pharisees that they use this law for, and because they say, well, for any cause, let a man write a right of divorce. But I say, no, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving only on the condition of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, meaning that it isn't any other, it's just any other reason. That's what the Lord is telling us. And fornication here, which as we have noticed, sexual moralities, infidelity, prostitution, all forms, even incest, is part of this word of fornication which we have here. And the issue of orchard, you read this with orchard and said, hey, mom, no, Moses can't answer, no, mom, say no, 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 it's your say. Obi biara obe jai ne reno se nye jama yungbo a omo oba nungbo ebe ya wari o se ugu a wari na ni obe wari oba nusono ugu a wari na because this used to walk and say no enye adi a o pacho se awari jai sam rana nema awari jai no yifu nemo o pe actual mesima. And someone will be a Jew for me, a dream for more of our job, and you have a part of the to do. You said, we see if you said, say, you need your mind for what you are, our entire life. And he says that, and whosoever shall marry her, that divorce committed adultery. So it means that when a man divorces his wife, for any other reason apart from fornication, he is the cause of her adultery when she marries again. But the man also is guilty of adultery because he has also broken away from her wife, and not for the case of fornication. So the man, the woman, and the one whoever will marry the woman also become they fall into the sin of adultery. They become guilty of adultery. Why? Because the one who breaks away from the woman, the wife that breaks away from the husband, if it's not by fornication, it's like he's still the husband, he's still the wife of the husband. See? Just separating from the husband, it's not divorce. Or maybe going to the law court to say, well, I've divorced. Before God, there's no divorce. You are still the husband, the wife, or whoever you have gone to the law court or to the elders of the family. You know, people do that well. I know traditionally they say, well, you want to just take some shenanigans, you go to your in-laws, you give it to them. No, before God, the marriage is not dissolved. And those who go to law court also, and then the lawyer, I mean, the judge cannot cause divorce for anyone. So those who engage in those things, and I know some who call themselves Christians do that. No, they are committing adultery. Before God, marriage is not dissolved at the law court or at the because when two people join together in marriage, it goes beyond merely the family members or the law of the state. Before God, they are one. Only God, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. The Lord Jesus Christ, or share what has not made sure we said. Also, it's So fornication is the only condition for which the permission which is given in Deuteronomy chapter 24 originally applies. Where it says about the uncleanness in the wife. And this also applies to the husband, you see. So that whoever committed fornication defiles the marriage, and that it's an occasion for going to Jannah. And we know what the Lord Jesus Christ is something that preserves marriage. It preserves the sanctity of marriage as well as with the children that comes out of the marriage. Because fornication, either by the husband or wife, defiles the marriage. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You see, so marriage is honorable, and those who bring unlawful divorce or whatever, God will judge. True, if you're born on this and adulterous, whatever form of sexual morality that is caused, which occasions defile the marriage, I mean, that person will go to before God. So, here is the marriage, I mean, it's about the sanctity of the marriage, so that you don't just get up and say, well, I'm going to the law court. I mean, this is very common. Well, we have resolved the marriage in the law court. That's our point. The judge at the law court cannot resolve marriage. Before God, he doesn't have that power. And, you know, there are some things God has not left in the hand of man. And that's one of the marriage. Until it is done according to his rules and his regulations, whoever does otherwise breaks the law of God. And you know, in some places, historically, some churches, they also dissolve marriages based on many other things. But whatever it is, I mean, the teachings of Christ, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, what it stands. Man cannot dissolve marriage except the condition which we have here. I move to verse 33. Again, we have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath. And from here, here the following verses, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about the law concerning oaths. This scripture, verse 3 in Ephesians. And oath, because it says that and ye shall have, and ye have heard that they have been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forsake by thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath. Abraham gives a nice definition for what an oath is. It is an oath, a solemn affirmation or declaration made with an appeal to God for the truth of what is affirmed, and implicating his vengeance and renouncing his favor if what is affirmed is false. Abraham, so my kind tamwa, the same time as someone say a deep tomb and I say a cat. So we write the name, say yes, we write this. The Ukraine, the Yerka, not Yerka said, hey, yeah, you can't try. Me, Sukhien, and I said, me, Nadom, only Nadom MPS. And so that oath is like asking God to witness what you are saying that is true, and that you are willing to also endure his vengeance or his punishment if you are lying. So, and it's something you appeal to God, and God is saying, we call God to witness for what you are saying. You know? So that is oath. I'm sure we know people take oaths at the law courts and other places where they have to take. But here, Lord Jesus Christ says, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath. He's speaking, as I said, against false oath, and he said forswear. Forswear in Greek is like in Tamoa, Nipanoa, or Kano. And he said, unto me this one, that's the own kind of prayer, also all kind. I don't know if you read this with the author. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12 says, so, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord, of the name of thy God, I am the Lord. I said, who will write this? And Deuteronomy 23:23 says, that which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform. even a freewill offering according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord, that God, when thou hast promised with thy mouth. So these two verses and others show that the Bible does not, God doesn't, God wants those who take an oath to be faithful, and that we should not take oath falsely, that's a forswearing, so that thou shalt not forswear to give out false oaths. You know that what you are saying is not true, or you are not going to abide by it, but then you say, yes, this is what I, in the name of God, God is my witness, I will do, and yet you don't do. And here, particularly, for instance, you come before the Lord and you say something, and that you call on His name, that this is what you want to do, and you don't perform. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is warning against falsehood, and they call perjury, using the name of God, and yes, acting, not positive, saying, acting falsely, and to call on His name to make a vow. So, we are in the law given that we should not swear falsely by the name of the Lord, we should not swear falsely, or that we utter with our lips. And that is again when you look at marriage, people are the couples, they give vows, and God is their witness. And by the marriage vows, you cannot just wake up and break it. So, you see, so that when you break that marriage vow unlawfully, it is like calling the name of God and acting falsely. So you break that oath. Marriage vows are oaths which are taken before God. And God is a witness. How can you take a vow before God? And if you go to the judge at the law court and you go and break and say, I'm breaking that marriage vow, it's not possible. God is your witness, as we know. And again, he have heard that has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. So, what the Lord is just saying, what the Lord speaks about false oaths, that we should avoid false oaths or breaking of vows. Whatever we have promised to perform, and we have swear about it, we should do. As I so you break the vow because you have said in the vow. So now let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ answer and add on to this from verse 34. Again, ye have heard that. But I say unto you, verse 34, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying we should not swear. All swearing or taking of an oath is wrong. That's not what He's saying. Because the Bible itself, the law gives instances where law is right to take an oath. The law, the Bible approves taking an oath or swearing in proper cases. For instance, in Deuteronomy 6 verse, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shall swear by His name. You see, we, the people of God, have to swear by His name. And in Jeremiah 4 verse 2, and thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying that we shouldn't swear at all. He's speaking in context. So, that's what he said. Job chapter 6, verse 13. Now, I say, Monsieur Radin and Coupon, Namus Monsono, Namunfa Ponidin and Mufanka in Camp. Now, over Jeremiah 42, I say, Mo and Cantan say, if Radin or Tiasi, the Kremu any attention is any pepper you. Now, Amanamania. I'm sure we know some people. I think they go out there. They say, "Oh, we shouldn't swear at all." And for that, they don't even say recite the national anthem and other things. Because they say, "Well, like they are affirming something, which like they are swearing." And there are other people who they say, "Oh, it's no good to swear at all because the Lord Jesus Christ said we should not swear at all." But as I said, the Bible does not say we should. The Lord Jesus Christ does not say we should not swear at all. He's speaking in context, and that he will tell us. The things that we should not do, which he is trying to tell us. So, but I told you, swear not at all. And so, what he forbade is taking an oath on trivial matters. And such matters are as if profanities on the name of God. To take an oath and matters. So that becomes like rampant using the name of God. I mean, unless the law is forbidden, that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, mention it in vain. And so, trivial matters of not great importance, because the definition as I quoted to you from our advance, an oath is a solemn affirmation, is something which of serious matter. It isn't something of trivial matters, and that you just. And also, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying among the Jews, they were misusing oaths. They were misusing oaths at the time, and that it was common among them that when they say when one swears by other things apart from God. Then that person is free from guilt when he breaks that oath. So they take that one as so you can swear by other things apart from God. If you swear by the name of God, then if you don't do then you are guilty. But you can take an oath by swearing to other things, and yet when you break it, you are not guilty. So these are the kind of swearing that the Lord says we shouldn't engage in. I'm sure you know, in our local culture, people of things that make away, then they just we talk to people, and then not make away, then not make away, and that's what was also made to mean, those kind of words that people use. They are all swearing, they are all oaths. People use it loosely when they are talking to people about Matthew, but they are all oaths, and these are the kind of oaths the Lord is forbidden. That the people should not just swear anyhow, rashly, thoughtlessly, on matters who doesn't require swearing, then they swear. And again, I'm sure, as I said, we are witness people using the name of God. When maybe they are issue with a friend or they are talking, then just a man who doesn't require, then they just call on God's name and to say something, and that they swear like that. The way that those kind of people and not before and they can. But that is telling you in Tamka. I'm sure we know even in our traditional settings, if there's a king in the place where you are in the village, you cannot just say something and swear by his name just carelessly. You see, and sometimes they will say, well, somebody, when you do something, they will say, well, they are using his oath, the chief or the king's oath on you, It's a serious matter, meaning you are going to answer at his palace. See, so people are afraid to use that. Even just human kings and their name, you cannot just use it and just say anything about it. If you are using their name for anything, you should mean that you should prepare that you are going to the palace to answer when you are called upon. I'm just giving this example, but the people of Israel has other forms of swearing, as I said, that they understand well. You should not take the name of God in vain. So well, we don't want to swear by his name. So on other lesser matters, maybe we'll swear by other things. The Lord Jesus Christ, what he meant by neither by heaven, says, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one of her white or black. What he's saying is that while they engage this kind of swearing and they think they are free because they are not mentioning the name of God, he's telling them all this belongs to God. And so when you swear by them, implication means like you have swear by God himself. And yet you think you are free so that you can even break the law, you can break the oath you have, you know. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, the king of kings. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make you. They belong to the Creator, God himself. So, as the Jews engage in swearing by not calling the name of God, think they are free to break it. No, the Lord says, no. You are also guilty as those who have made a vow before God, they have broken it. You see, so that is what he's saying, that it's a profane thing to engage in that, so that you know, in Matthew chapter 22, they even distinguish it. So the person, when you swear by the altar, when you swear by the gift that you are going to offer, then you are guilty before God. They have, and Lord Jesus Christ said, which is greater, the altar represents God, and the gift for the person is the altar that sanctifies the gift. So that when you swear by the altar, that's greater because it's God's representation, representing God on earth. But as I said, the Jews have so many, and so the Pharisees have so many ways to so that they can swear, and then they think they are free. That's what Jesus Christ is addressing here. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Swear not at all in connection with these things. The rash swears, the falsehood, and all manner of swearing where people make other things as the object of their vows instead of God, and that's delivered by heaven. Well, heaven, we can swear by heaven, it's God's throne, so be careful. And so that all who claim to swear not by the name of God, but then by other things, but the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that whatever way you swear, you are guilty. If you don't perform it, you are guilty before God. So you see, that's what he's trying to correct here. But I say unto you, swear not at all, and neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. And so that all that he says that we should be careful with swearing and taking an oath if we do not mean it. And so that as the Jews have find a means of swearing and so that if they are free, you can't be free. So long as you take an oath, God is a witness against you. Verse 37. But let your conversation be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whosoever is more than this cometh of evil. And so he advises us, he tells us that in common discourses of life, where we converse with people in our common daily lives, if something is there to be affirmed or disapproved, it is enough to simply say yes or no. That there should be no need to take an oath in such matters. And that is safe for us. If something that we have to approve of it or affirm, disapprove of it, yes, let's give our consent, yes or no, or this is what I've done, or this is what I didn't do, and avoiding adding oath. Because the minute you add oath to these things, probably at the time you were saying yes or no, probably there was you were not you didn't have all the required information. But so long as you say yes or no and you have added oath, meaning that is what you meant and that's what you know, you'll be guilty before God when the matter comes and you are, I mean, it comes out that you didn't even know what you were saying. You become a liar, and then it's like you are breaking an oath before God. So, what the Lord Jesus Christ started by saying that, again, he says, you have heard that it has been said by them of old that thou shalt not forsake thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath. It includes all manner of swearing, all manner of oaths, which people take them for granted. You see, which people take them for granted. And so he advises in verse 7 that in matters of daily discourse of our with our friends and matters that are not that we do not need to really swear an oath, we should just use yes or no, so that we become, we wouldn't fulfill the name of God and then be guilty of breaking his oath. Because why? God will not hold those who profane his name or who swear falsely guiltless. As long as we have sworn by his name, God will take us as breakers of the oath, and that God will not hold anyone guiltless who profane his name. He said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He will not hold anyone guiltless. So people sometimes think words are nothing. Those just why I said every idle word will be judged at the day of judgment. See? This is so catch on and said. Verse 7, no, say, yeah, you may die, yeah, D or a prayer bending and confounding it is the day, you know. Yeah, my SM, yeah, and then I've been counsel. Ma, yeah, hi, I'm said that a day in time. In Tamka, but can't yet some bring a bring here. Now, say, Yanisa, the love of you say, Yanisa, that is some in Tamka. A bit of maybe I somewhere can say, I didn't Tamka, you can't hear deep in some of the idea. Yet, you didn't Tamaka. But yes, you're ready to write it here. Sir, I just say, so long as I walk, what can't Tamka, and you said, they will come in. So Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that we should not only think of those major issues where we have been probably both are taking part. Those daily common matters which people be taking an oath and they think, well, these are not so much important. We should be careful because people are violating this law that we should, when we swear before the Lord, when we take an oath before Him, we should fulfill it. And we are safe just to use yes or no in common matters of life. So these are also added that the words are words. God takes notice of our words. This is one of the lessons here. What do we say? You see, sometimes people may say to maybe just to flatter people and they think it's nothing. People may make harsh or a rash things. I remember when I was my workplace, we went to the company went to a place, I think it was a funeral,
And I think we had one of our managers made a promise at the funeral about, I think, giving the audience something. So all of them, all of us took it that was serious. So I think on a Monday, when we went to work, some of them went to ask him. And so, did I make, I think it was wrong. Did I make that? I said, I didn't say it. So, you see? Yeah, so these are just examples. People sometimes, when they are happy or they are excited, they say things. But if we are the Lord, we know what it takes, what how the Lord takes promises, and those things are serious, so that we shouldn't just make like others who make promise frequently, because we have to live by our ways. See, as Christians, if we are believers in Lord Jesus Christ, that He has saved us. One of the things He has said, we should live by our ways. We shouldn't say one thing here and tomorrow we do another thing, and we've forgotten even what we have said. We do that, like those who have gone before God and declare, affirm their things or disapprove their things by oath, and just let's turn around and act in the opposite way. You see, so that whatever we say, we should know that the Lord has taken notice of it. And even to our children, you see, sometimes our parents, I'm not sure maybe any one of us do that, maybe they want to go somewhere, maybe they want their child to be in the house and so that they can go and come. Oh, then they promise the child something. I've heard children tell their parents they are liars. They tell, yes, they tell the child something and they go. No, before they tell to the child, maybe they say, oh, I'm picking something on the behind them. Oh, I'm just coming. No, they are going. They just lock the door and leave them with some people. People do these things in life. And God takes notice of that. And even teaches children how to lie. You see? And I've heard some children tell their parents they are liars because they told them this and then they acted. So even to our children, we should be careful what we promise them. If we are not, we should just tell them the fact. If they cry, they should cry. It is better for them to cry than pamper them with lies and then you are not going to fulfill it to them. Knowing that it's not possible. See? So we should be, they make kind of say, And for the PBI, who are Bashabia, and who point Mr. Washer. That's when this war, who was the same one, a good giant who point in Russia book is here. The same thing. So you see, what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us is we should be watchful of ours. They are afraid the idea of Oka. Say, and I, that we are you see, if we follow Him, we'll be free. So, and people, even our life will really reflect that we know the truth. Because standing by what we have said shows that we are truthful. That we trust the Lord is faithful. As we say, oh, the Lord is faithful and truthful, and we ought to be also the same. You see, it's part of what the Lord requires of us as His people, that we don't just say some things and Yes, I bet it's all more every kind of time now for the bush.